If you have your Bible, I'd like for you, if you would, to open up to Psalms. Right about the middle of your Bible should be Psalms. You hopefully have a pew Bible near you. We're going to look at a Psalm of Moses. Of who? I thought David wrote the Psalms. David wrote 73 of the Psalms. David wrote 73 of the Psalms, but he didn't write all of them. This one's written by Moses. And so Moses is going to teach us to number our days. Moses got a lot of opportunities to work on that. And so we're gonna start there in Psalm 90. So let's pray then as we get into our lesson this morning. Oh, dear Father, dearest loving Heavenly Father, help us be amazed by you and help us to live in a way that lets you live more fully through us, love more completely through us, care more deeply through us, serve more willingly through us. Let us allow your body of Christ to thrive on the earth, giving glory to your name and to your Son. Watch over our loved ones through their trials. Thank you for blessing Dick with the health that he has. Please continue to bless him. Thank you for blessing Christy with the health she has. Please continue to bless her. So many more are on our hearts. Bless them as only you can. Watch over us this day. In your Son we pray. Amen. Okay, Psalm 90. He starts out, Moses was trained 120 years to teach us to number our days. Our sermon's in verse 12, but we're going to use the first 11 verses to get there. In verse 12 he says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. But in the first section here, he says, Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, you brought forth the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day is just gone by, or even like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They're like new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it's dry and withered. Okay, Moses, he had different seasons in his life. In Moses' first season in his life, he was a prince. He had it made. Okay, no, they didn't have central air and heat, and he didn't have an iPod, but he had it made, okay? He was the prince. He could call in singers, call in servants, get whatever he wanted, do whatever he wanted. He was a prince in Egypt. He had it made. And then he knew he was a Hebrew, and he killed an Egyptian. And when he did, he had to flee for his life. And so he spends the next season of his life, he takes care of sheep. For 40 years, he's watching sheep. He figures nobody's going to know who I am. He's just going to just serve. I watch sheep all day. Everything's great just watching sheep. You know, it's not bad. Okay? So he's watching the sheep and everything's good. And then he sees there a burning bush and it's not consumed. And he goes and a voice from within the bush tells him to take off the sandals from his feet, because the ground on which he's standing is holy. And God has a job for him. He winds up spending the next 40 years of his life leading people who don't want to be led. They gripe when they have to work harder in Egypt. They gripe when they get across the Red Sea. They gripe before they get to the Red Sea, and they gripe when they get across the Red Sea. They don't have enough water, don't have enough food. They gripe for everything. They complain all the time. And then, at the last straw, when they complain for water, and he and his brother crack that rock twice, and he says, must we bring forth water? And the reason why I picked this picture is because of right there. He says, must we bring forth water. Did they bring forth water? No. God brought forth. Sometimes we think, Did you accomplish a bunch of good in your life, or did God accomplish a bunch of good in your life? See, there were things, yes, he had a good excuse. So the first part of Numbers chapter 20, his sister just died in verse 1, and then later on in the chapter, they mess up. And so, even when things aren't going the way you want them to in your life, does it give you permission to mess up? No. And so he gets to look at the promised land, but he doesn't get to go in. And so Moses understood what was important. He understood how you're supposed to live life. And so he gives us a psalm that says, Lord, teach us to number our days. He says, life goes by real fast. Oh, and by the way, when he dies, he's 120 years old. And he tells us that we get 70 or 80 years. Now, what lessons do we need to learn from the seasons in Moses' life? Okay, is your life always going to just stay the same? Or does it change? Okay, the one thing you always count on in life is it's going to change. My knees make more noise now than they used to when I was younger. Okay? My back also makes noises I don't like. There's different things that change in life. He says, health. My son thought his wife was just going to always be the strength of his. Now he's having to take care of her through her cancer. I mean, there's life changes. And so we have to learn from the seasons of his life to be prepared for the seasons in ours. Now, how can our understanding of Moses' days teach us to better number ours? And we're going to get to that more when we get to verse 12. But when you look at all he went through, you know, as a shepherd, his job was to take care of sheep. And God was using that to train him to sheep don't pay attention when they're being led. And people don't pay attention when they're being led. And so Moses was being trained for 40 years. And some of the times when you're going through hard times that you don't like right now, and maybe it seems like this is mundane, what's going on? God's training you for something that's yet future. Moses did his best work after he was 80. Okay? He did his best work for God after he's 80. So maybe God's not done with you yet. In fact, I know God's not done with you yet. So let's go on. To number our days, we have to have the right perspective. You know, when Moses was in that, and by the way, that tree that he saw in Numbers, in Exodus chapters 3 and 4, that bush that he saw burning, that didn't burn up, you know what mountain that was on? 2 years later, less than 2 years later, he's going to stand on that mountain and God's going to give him 10 commandments. That's Mount Horeb in the Sinai Mountains. Okay, but we need to have the right perspective. He needed to see that God is sovereign. And so God's going to teach that to him. Let's read verses 7 through 11. He says, "We're consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All of our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you." Literally, the awe that is due you. We should be awed by God. He says, man only gets it. Now, when he writes this, he's over 80, close to 120 when he writes this down. Teach us to number our days. We only get 70 or 80 years. He got more than that. Some of us get more than that. My son and daughter-in-law sent us a picture yesterday. They spent time with Earl, who's Kathy's twin. They have the same birthday, only he's 98. Okay? He's one of our elders where I used to preach. But sometimes you get more than 70 years, but you're responsible to use those days for God. God gives us those days for a purpose. Now, what spiritual perspective is going to teach us to better number our days? See, when he's on the side of that mountain and that bush is there and he approaches it, What does God tell him to do? Take your sandals off your feet. Why? That's holy ground. Why is it holy ground? Because God's there. Okay? This isn't a holy building. But when God's here, we are reverent to God. And God is in you and in you and in you and in you. And we are reverent one to another and show preference one to another. But if I have that perspective of the divine, that perspective of the eternal, of the omnipresence of God, I live differently. And when I go back to my selfish ways, I've missed the point. Now, how are you motivated by the temporary nature of this life? He says, life, it doesn't last long. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was in high school dating this cute little 18-year-old girl. Okay? And life's different. You know, life goes by real quick. Now I've got a granddaughter in college. How'd that happen? Okay? Life changes, sometimes real quickly. He says, 1,000 years is like a day, or even like a watch in the night. A watch in the night's only 3 hours. And so, for God, you know, time, it doesn't, because God's not bound by time. It goes by so quickly. James said, life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. But if I understand how temporary it is, then right now is important. Who can you bless today? They may not be here tomorrow. Who can you encourage today? We have a tradition in the church that we do not offer a gospel message without offering an invitation. Do you know why we offer an invitation for people to come to Christ at the end of every lesson? Because 1 week there was a gospel meeting, a tent meeting in Chicago. And a whole bunch of people were there, and the preacher didn't offer an invitation, a call to Christ at the end of his sermon. The next day, there were a whole lot of people that weren't at his meeting. You know why? That night, there was the Chicago fire. And a whole bunch of people that could have said yes to the invitation were dead. They had died in the fire. And so he vowed, I will never again preach the gospel without offering an opportunity for people to come to Christ. And it caught on, and other people said, well, I won't either. I won't either. And so that the tradition came from that. Now, how are you motivated by the temporary nature of this life? If you understand that life is but a vapor, every moment's important, isn't it? See, the biggest danger, if you say no to the gospel today, the biggest danger is not that you get run over by a truck tomorrow. The biggest danger is that next week you may not care as much as you care this week. And the next week you may care even less, and eventually you may not care at all. So if God's working on your heart, life's temporary, act on it. Let's go on. We need to live like our days are numbered. Here's our verse. Here's the text that we're using for the lesson. He says, teach us to number our days aright so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. He says, we want to number our days correctly. Now, how does life get more intense when we realize our days are numbered? Okay? And those don't teach us to number our days. Teach us to live like our days are numbered. My daughter-in-law sent this amazing post about just her struggle for God that she's realized now that she's got cancer. My mom, years ago, right on the eve of one of her, in fact, the afternoon before she had her surgery, I said, Mom, why does this have to happen to you? And she says, why not me? She says, besides, I wouldn't give her the experience. I said, what are you talking about? And she says, things I used to think are important aren't important. You know, if I get weeds in my iris bed, that's just too bad. I got more important things to do than that. Okay? First, I want my loved ones to be in Christ. And I want them to be close to Christ. That's what I want more than anything else. And so, the temporary nature of life, does it change your priorities? Teach us to number our days. Teach us to live like our days. If you knew that you only had a few weeks to live, what would you do? Well, I tell you this much, I'd forgive those people that I've been holding a grudge against. I'd show kindness to those people that just desperately need it. I'd talk to people about Jesus that I'd been their friend and never talked to them about Jesus, and I don't want them to have to stand before God without me ever having said anything to them. Remember that song that we took out of our songbooks? We didn't take it out of our songbook. They just didn't put it in the new ones. When in a better land, before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls would be if any lost one there would cry in deep despair. Y'all know it, don't you? You never mentioned him to me. We got that song made us feel so uncomfortable, they just took it out of our book so we wouldn't have to feel uncomfortable, because we don't like feeling uncomfortable. Okay? I can't imagine standing before God saying, and some guy coming and say, hey, you know, you're my friend all that time in high school, all that time in college. You never said anything to me about Jesus. Break my heart. Lord, teach us to number our days aright so that we can gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. If I could live like my days were numbered, I would be more intense serving God, right? So, how would you love? How would you forgive? How would you spend your time if your days are numbered? Okay? Forgive those people, because forgiveness is a gift you give yourself. When you forgive them, you don't have to carry the grudge. When you forgive them, you're the one that's freed. So Jesus tells, now when you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean they get to go to heaven. They got to work that one out with God. But it means you don't have to carry the burden anymore. When you forgive them, you don't have to carry that load of grudge and unforgiveness and, you know, anxiety about that situation. Just forgive them. Let it go. Doesn't hurt you. Just forgive them. Okay? If Jesus can have his hand stretched out, nailed on a cross, and say, Father, forgive them, we follow him. And your hands aren't stretched out like that. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And forgive them even if they do know what they do. Now, how are you going to spend your time with your numbered days? Oh, did you know that your days are numbered? Okay, keep your finger here. Go ahead to chapter 139. In Psalm 139, now Psalm 139 is not written by Moses. Psalm 139 is written by David. In Psalm 139, look what he says in verse 16. He says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. All the days were ordained for me, were written in your book before one of them came to be. Does God know how long you're going to live? Yep. I don't know how long it is. God knows, doesn't he? Okay? Your days are numbered. My days are numbered, even if I don't know it. No, I might be like Earl and live to be 98. I might kick off this afternoon. Don't know. If I have too much that barbecue chicken, it could happen. No, but the thought is, whatever life has for us, our days are numbered. We're here to live for God. The church is the body of Christ, the fullness of him who fills all in all. As Christ is, so also are we in this world, 1 John chapter 4. Christ wants to live on the earth through us. So we need to spend our time knowing that our days are numbered. Now, we need to live with our days numbered first, second, and third. In other words, in verse 12, when it says, teach us to number our days aright, okay, numbering them, that means you put priorities in your life. What's the most important thing in your life? Okay, I've done a lot of funerals, hundreds of funerals, okay? I've been with dozens of people holding their hands when they died. None of them ever said to me, you know, I wish I'd spent more time at work. What'd they say? You know what they said. Oh, I wish I'd spend more time with my family. I wish I'd shown my kids how much I loved them. I wish I'd shown my wife how much I loved her. What was priority? When they were dying, priority was relationships. Now, while they were living, they had to get their career. They had to get this stuff done. They had to make this money. They had to make their name for themselves. Whatever it was, that had to be first. Is that what's first? What do you want most? There is a tombstone in a cemetery in Worcester, and Worcester in Massachusetts is spelled like Worcestershire sauce, okay? Okay, without the shire. Okay, Worcester, Massachusetts, okay? There's a tombstone in a cemetery, and it's got the guy's name, and it says, he bowled a 300. There's more important things in life. Okay? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You want your family close to God. And so what happens when we put careers ahead of relationships? We're not numbering our days aright. Teach us to number our days aright. So, okay, who's been getting the first of your time and of your attention? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you, right? Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's what you want first. Okay, and who's getting first and who's getting second? Husbands, you know what the Bible says? Love your wives as Christ loved the church. He never told you to love anybody else like that. So yeah, God's first, but second is your wife. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Guess who's second in your life? Your husband. Kids are third. Second is your wife or your husband. Because the Bible said so. And after the kids go home, there's nothing left but you guys. My kids are all gone. My kids are in their 40s. I don't have to, you know, wipe their noses or anything. They're in good shape, okay? Now, I guess I still got one in the 30s till February, all right? But the thought is, you know, the thought is, teach us to number our days. What's most important? I want my kids to be right with God. I want my grandkids to be right with God. Okay, whatever I can do to help that happen, I want that to happen. As long as there's breath, there's hope. Right now, it's tough for some of my grandkids. How can a loving God let their mommy have cancer like she has? And they're having a hard time with that. I'm praying my heart out. Okay, I want that. Kathy's going to go down and spend a month down there with them because we're praying our hearts out. We want, first thing, how do you spend your days? You do whatever you can so that everybody you know and everybody you love gets to know Jesus and follow him. Gets to be with him eternally. That's what you do. Teach us to number our days aright. Okay? Who's getting first in your life? Who's getting second? Well, I've got to love myself. The Bible never says that. You already love yourself. If you want a Twinkie, you get one. Okay? I mean, you already love yourself. Now, the goal is to love your wife enough that you don't eat the Twinkie. Okay? Now, the goal is to love your kids enough that you try to stay healthy so you can be there for them. But you already love yourself. He says, love others. The best thing you can do for you is love somebody else. Because as you're blessing them, it's more blessed to give than receive. I read that somewhere around Acts 20:35. Let's go on. When we properly number our days, guess what we learn? Let's look at the last half of verse 12. He says, teach us to number our days right so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What do you want to do? I want to gain a heart of wisdom. Okay? The same Bible that talks about elders, which are older, wiser men, literally in the Hebrew, it's the bearded ones, so I could, no, anyway. But older, wiser men, the same Bible also talks about old fools, so ears by themselves won't get it done. You want to teach our number to our days so that we can gain wisdom. Now, how does a proper allocation of time help your heart gain wisdom? Because you're putting the first things first. Okay, yesterday we went up and saw my favorite mother-in-law. Okay, I only got one. All right, and she's in another facility. It's a long story. Anyway, we had some time in the afternoon And we got to walk along the beach. Up, she lives up on Lake Erie. And it's cleaner than it used to be. If Jesus would have walked on Lake Erie in the 1970s, it wouldn't have been a genuine miracle because there's too much stuff floating in it. But now it's pretty clean up there. Anyway, alongside the beach, I made a little sand cast a little bit, and then the waves came in. The wind picked up from the north, and waves wiped out a bunch of it. Okay, should I be spending all my time building sand castles? No, because they don't last long. Now, I should make sandcastles, but not long, because they're not going to last long. I want what I do to last. Lord, teach us to number our days so that we can gain a heart of wisdom. So I'd be spending my time in things that bless others and things that glorify God. Now, why is it so important that our hearts learn wisdom? Notice what it says in verse 12, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Why heart? Okay, we're done here. You can read that later. Go back in the New Testament, way back in the back of your Bible. All the T's are together, Thessalonians, Timothy, and Titus in your Bible. They're all way back in the back, right before Hebrews. Okay, and right before the T's, the last one in there is Colossians. Okay, Colossians 3. Look what he says in these first four verses. And I think this is a wonderful commentary on the verse we just read. Lord, teach us to number our days aright so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. A heart of wisdom. Notice what it says here in Colossians 3. He says, Paul, writing to the church in Colossae, he says, since then, you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Okay? He says, I want you to set your heart on things above. And then I want you to set your mind on things above. If you realize that your life is hidden with Christ in God, okay, that's what your life is. Then he says, when Christ appears, you're going to appear with him in glory. I want a heart like that. Don't you want a heart like that? Okay, he says, set your heart. He says, if we will number our days aright, we'll gain a heart of wisdom. God didn't just want us to think through it and be able to know the right answers. Okay, he wants us to have a heart that absolutely loves God, that longs to glorify Jesus in all that we say and do. Because one day, verse 4, he's coming back, and we will appear with him in glory. Okay, so the lesson this morning is to properly invest our time in God, and then in our families, and then in others. Teach us to number our days aright. God's first. Your family second. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. That's second. Fathers, train up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's third. Okay? Live your life for others. Let each esteem others more high than himself, and look not to your own needs but to the needs of others. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. When you live that way, life's way more fun, because you're gaining a heart of wisdom by numbering your days aright. So, what have you learned from the seasons of your life? I don't want to work in a rock quarry anymore. Okay? And I really don't like baling hay up in the top of a mow when it's 137 degrees. Could you believe Uncle Philip put a thermometer up in the mow and it said 137 degrees when we were up there? It's time to break for lunch. But the thought is, teach us to number our days aright. What do you want to be doing with your life? I want to be glorifying Jesus. I want to live in such a way that people look at me like they looked at Peter in Acts 4 and like they looked at John in Acts 4 and said, those guys have been spending time with Jesus. Remember that? Acts 4:13. They weren't learned men. They didn't have those little tassels on the robes that the Pharisees had. And they said, when they saw their boldness, they knew that they'd spent time with Jesus. I want to live in such a way that people know I spend time with Jesus. I want you to live in such a way that people see you and they know you've been spending time with Jesus. So, how's your perspective of God shaping your daily schedule? Now, I don't want the most important book in your life to be your day timer. But schedule God into your life. If you don't have a scheduled Bible reading time, if you don't have a scheduled prayer time, if you don't have scheduled time to commune with God, you're missing the point. Life's mostly spiritual. Schedule God into your day. You know, I can't do that tonight because my show's on. I can't do that tonight because that's my prayer time. Okay, whatever it is. Schedule God into your day. Teach us to number our days. Now, what would you do today if you knew your days were numbered? Okay? I don't know if I have the faith that Christy had 3 weeks ago when she said, I'm in a win-win situation. If God heals me, I get to raise up my children to love Jesus. If he doesn't, I get to see Jesus. I want to have a heart like that. Okay? Teach us to number our days. How would you live today if you knew your days were numbered? What would you do first? Well, I'd forgive that. Then forgive them. Well, I'd show kindness to that person. Then show kindness to them. What would you do first? Live for God. So, what's going to be first on your daily schedule? What you going to do first? Okay? If you want to bring people to Jesus and you're not yet in Christ, that's like me wanting you to read a book that I haven't read. Oh, it's a really good book. I don't know what it's about, but you might want to read it. That doesn't encourage anybody. That's like telling somebody, I want you to follow Christ, but no, I'm not following him. No, you surrender your life to Christ. You die to your old self. You're buried with him by baptism and death, raised to walk in a brand new life. What did Jesus say in John 3, verse 5? Verily, verily, in the King James, amen, amen, I say unto you, unless a man's born of water and the Spirit, he shall in no way enter the kingdom of heaven. It's wet, it's messy, it's humbling. God chose wet, messy, and humbling. Not to be why you're saved. Why you're saved is the grace of God. How you're saved is a sacrifice of Jesus. But when you enter into a covenant with God is when you die to your old life and are born in Christ. If you're willing to make that commitment, we would love to have you in the family of God. If you'd like to sit down and study with us, we'd love to sit down and study with you. I've baptized people in their 90s and in their teens. If you're already born in Christ and you need us praying with you about something, if you haven't been numbering your days aright, if you've been letting years slip by and not been devoted to God, if you need a heart to gain wisdom so that you can better number your days, and better number your days so you can gain a heart of wisdom, whatever your need might be, we call you to come while we stand and while we sing.